This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Last week, a state appeals court ruled that the Department of Natural Resources policies on the cleanup of PFAS chemicals can't be enforced. Attorney General Josh Call says he'll appeal the ruling at the state Supreme Court. And Governor Tony Evers has been clashing with the legislature over $125 million in funding to address the state's PFAS problem. We're checking out the politics of PFAS cleanup in the state. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the state DNR should have broad authority to handle PFAS pollution and require cleanup? What should be done about landowners whose properties are contaminated with the chemicals? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. WPR reporter Danielle Kading has been following these stories. I talked to her earlier this week. All right, we got this appeals court ruling saying that DNR policy on PFAS was against the law. Can you talk us through the initial challenge and what got us to this point?
So the initial challenge was brought a few years ago by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce against the State Department of Natural Resources, and Oconomowoc-based dry cleaner Leather Rich also joined in that lawsuit. And basically, they were challenging the DNR's authority related to some policy changes they made that were tied to a program where landowners voluntarily agree to clean up contamination. And in exchange for that, they would face limited liability in the future. And so basically they argued that the DNR, through these policy changes, had basically adopted rules that were unlawful and couldn't be enforced, and a Waukesha County judge ruled in their favor, and the appeals court ruling basically upheld that ruling.
Now, it gets a little complicated here, Danny, and hopefully you can help untangle this for me. This is ultimately about how regulations and policy changes happen and how much authority an agency like the DNR has to do something like this without getting specific rulemaking approved by the legislature. I think I have that right so far. Talk us through that.
Yeah. So, you know, in Wisconsin, generally, when we have regulations that are passed, they go through the state's rulemaking process. And that means that any regulations that are proposed by agencies like the Department of Natural Resources are subject to legislative approval and approval by the governor. And while we've seen the Republican-controlled legislature approve standards for PFAS in drinking water and surface water, or at least not object to them anyway, the DNR has tried twice to develop groundwater limits for chemicals such as PFAS without success. And that's due largely to opposition from conservative and business interests, as well as excessive compliance costs with implementing those rules. And since that process, the rulemaking process, can take years, environmental advocates and residents say that would delay relief even more for them and could be subject to more opposition from putting standards in place related to those interests who have objected previously.
As I understand it, this appeals court ruling isn't going to be the last word on the subject. We're looking at a likely appeal to that appeal. Danny, what is going on?
Yeah, so when that ruling came out last week, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said that the Department of Justice is going to appeal that ruling to the state Supreme Court on behalf of the DNR because they've been representing the agency in that case. And basically, they're arguing that this ruling, this decision, could undermine the DNR's ability to protect safe and clean drinking water. And they think that there's another interpretation, and they think they have a good standing for this Supreme Court to take this case because it was a divided opinion. It was a 2-1 decision. And so they're going to be arguing in favor of Wisconsin's spills law and the authority that has been granted to the DNR under that as a reason why they can do what they have previously been doing and still are continuing to do, which is regulate hazardous substances like PFAS and require certain entities to clean up that contamination.
And you just mentioned, Danny, they're continuing to do this. The current status while this appeal is waiting is what? There's a hold on these rulings?
Yes, there is a hold from the Waukesha County judge. He basically prevented any you know, ruling or decision from taking effect. So that means that the department, the DNR, can continue under the spills law to work with those responsible for contamination to clean up PFAS. And it also means that people who have private wells that have been contaminated by these chemicals, that they'll still be able to receive emergency bottled water in the meantime through the authority that's been granted to them under the spills law. So their authority remains in place until a final decision is issued.
WPR reporter Danielle Kading is with us looking at PFAS chemicals in the courts and in the state legislature. Danny, another story you've been following, a back and forth between Governor Evers and the Republican-led state legislature over funding to address some of our state's PFAS problems. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's right, Robin. If you remember, you know, last year while they were going through the budget process, lawmakers set aside $125 million to address PFAS. They put that in a trust fund, and that was approved under the current two-year budget. And that's intended to help local governments and landowners address PFAS pollution. But they said at that time that, you know, there was going to be legislation passed to implement how those dollars would be spent. And so there has been debate in the legislature between Republicans and Democrats and Governor Tony Evers over a GOP bill that would address contamination. And the real sticking point with that is that Democrats and Evers are arguing that this legislation would limit the DNR's authority to test for and clean up the chemicals. And I can go more into that if you'd like.
Yeah. What? How would it do that?
So essentially, this legislation that's been sponsored by Green Bay Republican Senators Eric Wimberger and Rob Coles would prevent the DNR from taking enforcement action against people deemed innocent landowners. And what that means is that as long as these so-called innocent landowners let the agency clean up the chemicals at the state's expense, then they would be able to take care of this contamination. And then it would let property owners who have contamination through no fault of their own have those chemicals cleaned up. It would also require the DNR to seek permission from landowners to test for PFAS, and it would limit the agency's ability to require testing unless the agency had some sort of probable cause to believe that PFAS levels would go beyond state or federal standards. But Evers has said that he will veto the bill and has offered a compromise instead. And Republicans and Evers and the Democrats just aren't seeing eye to eye on this one.
But I think the legislative term is running out, or the session is running out. Danny, what are you watching for next as this back and forth over PFAS funding goes on?
Yeah, unless there's some sort of compromise between Evers and the legislature's budget writing committee, it looks like people, communities, and landowners will be waiting months for financial aid. I mean, it would really take the legislature's budget writing committee or the finance committee to take some action to award these funds unless some sort of deal can be reached. And so we'll be watching to see if the committee takes action separate from the governor, or if the governor and the committee can work out some sort of deal, or if there's some other unimagined option that I have not yet foreseen.
Danny, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Rob.
Danielle Kading is a reporter covering the environment, energy, and Northern Wisconsin for WPR's Superior Bureau. She talked to us about the latest news on PFAS. Coming up, we'll hear from an expert on water policy and laws here in Wisconsin. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is PFAS contamination a problem in your community? What do you want to see the state do about it when it comes to surface water, drinking water, or groundwater? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the latest news on PFAS chemicals and pollution in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if this has been an issue in your community. Do you want the DNR to have more or less authority to regulate PFAS and its cleanup? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. David Strifling joins us now, Director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative and Associate Professor at Marquette Law School. Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be with you again, Rob. Thank you.
We just got the latest twists and turns there with Danny. Dave, what, big picture, what concern do we have about PFAS in groundwater in particular here in Wisconsin?
Well, that was a tremendous report by Danielle Kading. I think looking at the big picture, the biggest potential losers here are those Wisconsinites who are on private wells for their drinking water. They're at the biggest risk for PFAS contamination because the DNR has already enacted rules related to drinking water and surface water. It's groundwater that's the big loophole here, and so they should have the biggest concern.
And this will be in mostly, I assume, rural parts of the state where you mentioned the distinction between drinking water and groundwater for people with wells. Ultimately, groundwater is their drinking water, right?
Exactly right. So we're talking about those who are on, you know, single well systems here, not on a municipal groundwater system.
So we've got this debate over how much authority the DNR has to require cleanup of PFAS in groundwater. What is your take on this back and forth we were just hearing about?
Well, from the DNR's point of view, this is sort of a case of bad facts make bad law, I'm sure, where, you know, they kind of tried to get this landowner, Leather Rich, the dry cleaner, to clean up PFAS in the midst of an ongoing cleanup. And so, you know, from their perspective, this is, you know, not the ideal way that a cleanup should work. But from WMC's perspective, you know, the thinking here is that they should know what's required of them and that DNR shouldn't be able to change the rules midstream. So you can see both sides of it, the perspectives here. And the question is, you know, what is a hazardous substance? And obviously our conception of what a hazardous substance is can change over time with some of these emerging contaminants like PFAS. So the real root of the problem is how do we handle things like that when we become aware of new contaminants out there in the environment? What authority should the DNR have to react and respond to that quickly?
Can you give us a little history of our rising realization that PFAS is very commonly used in consumer products and others, a commonly used class of chemicals, is something that's A, hazardous, and B, pervasive in a lot of our water in the state?
Well, that's right. And it's not just in our water. I think it's, you know, if all of us in Wisconsin were tested, the great majority of us would have PFAS in our bloodstream. So this stuff is everywhere. It's in food packaging and firefighting foam and cosmetics and plastics and all sorts of other consumer products. And I think that's why you're seeing a number of states react with bans of one sort or another as our scientific knowledge has grown about, you know, these forever chemicals. They're useful for a purpose because they're long lasting and they don't break down, but that causes problems when humans and animals and the environment is exposed to them.
Speaking of bans, I believe the state of Maine has a fairly broad ban on PFAS chemicals used in production. Some Democrats in the state have proposed a bill that would ban PFAS in most products, starting, I think, in 2028. What would that do? What kind of impact could that have?
Yeah, there are a few states that have done that. Maine was the first, I believe. And all of these bans are phased bans. They're not immediate bans. So there would be some time for industry to react. I think the Wisconsin one would be in certain types of products starting in 2028 and then a complete ban by 2034. But still, there's going to be opposition to that from WMC and others who contend that PFAS are safe in some contexts when they're used properly and contained. So I think the Wisconsin bill was described by the sponsors as aspirational, and I think that's exactly what it is. It's a conversation starter at this point. I don't see any serious possibility that this is going to be passed anytime soon in Wisconsin, but it is exactly that, a conversation starter.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in New London. Mike, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on. I personally wish the DNR professional scientists and health professionals should have the most power in making this decision. This is not a political topic, although the GOP is doing parallel to what they did with COVID. That's my comment. Thank you.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. And Dave, Mike hits on a very fundamental question here. The state legislature passes laws that empower state agencies, in this case the DNR, to do stuff, to regulate things. But there's a question of how much latitude that agency is being given and how much they have to come back and hammer out more specific authorities with the legislature. How big a factor is that in this argument in the first place, Dave?
Yeah, it's a huge factor, especially in Wisconsin, which has swung pretty far when it comes to the pendulum away from agency power and towards legislative power. The way it stands now, the agency basically needs legislative authority to issue any rule, put a condition in any permit, do almost anything that it wants to do. So at least when it comes to PFAS and groundwater and a lot of other topics too, really, the DNR is kind of at the mercy of the legislature on this one.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to David Strifling, Director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative, Associate Professor at Marquette Law School, looking at PFAS in Wisconsin water and elsewhere and state efforts to clean it up, prevent it, and more. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. We have this $125 million set aside in a state budget, Dave, for PFAS cleanup. It is stalled as empowering rules and legislation. The Republicans in the legislature want it one way. Governor Evers wants it another. Talk about the differences of opinion in there and why it's slowing down the process.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. As the caller said, this has sort of become a partisan political issue. I think there's broad consensus, actually, that PFAS are a problem and something needs to be done about them. By both Republicans and Democrats. But the issue is goes back to what we've been talking about, which is how much power the DNR should have. And Governor Evers sees that question one way, and the Republican-controlled legislature sees it a different way. And that's the root of the problem here, because, you know, I think the bill that was passed in the legislature would have authorized the release of much of the $125 million, not immediately, but over time. The issue was that Governor Evers thought it contained a poison pill that Danielle described, restricting the authority of the DNR to order cleanups. And so until that issue is resolved, I think we're kind of stuck in neutral here.
Do we really have ways to clean up PFAS effectively? I could see $125 million being a lot of money, or I could see it being a drop in the bucket for getting a pervasive chemical, say, out of groundwater around the state.
Yeah, I think the best answer there is we're working on it. Lots of good scientists are working on the best ways to do that. It's not easy to do, and I think $125 million would go pretty quickly, especially when you think about some of the larger cities in Wisconsin that have been affected by PFAS in drinking water. You need very advanced treatment technologies to remove it, and those don't come cheap. That's certainly true.
Let's go back to our callers. Robert is with us in Amherst Junction. Robert, hi.
Hi. After I called, I heard the guest kind of say what I was intending to say, which is in Wisconsin, the legislature right now is pro-industry. And when WMC and other industry groups put out their idea of what they want to do, they can stall anything. They could stall the controls around lead. They could stall controls around atrazine. They have stalled controls. They are stalling controls around nitrates in groundwater in central Wisconsin. They are only trying to stall the process.
Robert, thanks a lot for the call. That is not exactly what you said, Dave. So what do you think about what Robert brought up?
Yeah, I don't mean to ascribe any particular motivation to the legislature here or describe, why they're doing what they're doing. I think the issue here is something that was described by an earlier caller and by you, Rob, which is, do you believe that we should leave this in the hands of agency experts? Do you believe that those are the scientists and that's why we have them to do this job? Or do you believe that they are unelected bureaucrats run amok? And, those polar opposite views here are what is slowing down the release of those funds and cleanup of PFAS in Wisconsin. So until we can meet in the middle somewhere, and I'm still hopeful that we can, we're going nowhere fast.
Thanks for that call. Liz joins us now in Lyons. Liz, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Liz?
I'm from Georgia, and I've never heard the word PFAS before. And I also, my water comes from a well. Do I need to be concerned at all?
Liz, thanks for the call. To her first point, Dave, I know this is a big thing in Wisconsin. I haven't really looked at what's going on in the rest of the country on PFAS. Is this a particular problem in the state, or is this something that's happening nationwide?
No, this is a nationwide issue. And I think the problem here is that EPA has been very slow to act at the federal level. And so that's left a sort of patchwork quilt of state regulations. Some have gone far along the way of regulating PFAS, and others have done nothing at all. So it really depends where you live at this point until EPA steps in.
And Liz mentioned she relies on well water. As you mentioned earlier, Dave, they are the people potentially most affected by a delay in enforcement and remediation here. Are there things that you know of that people can do who have well water to find out if PFAS is a problem and then start to try to figure out what to do about it?
Right. So a couple of things. One is to check whether you're on a well or whether you are on a private well. If you're on a municipal well, you're going to be covered by the DNR's drinking water regulations. Those are public water systems, even though they're on a well. Those that are in the gray area or unregulated at this point are those who are on a private well, not a municipal system, but a private well. And you can have those tested for PFAS, but it's not required in the same way that it will be for the municipal water systems.
Liz, thanks for the call. And Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
David Strifling is director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative and associate professor at Marquette Law School. He talked to us about some of the latest news on PFAS chemicals in Wisconsin water. Earlier, we heard from WPR reporter Danielle Kading. You could follow her ongoing now for a long time work on PFAS-related issues around the state. Check out that and other news over at WPR.org or download the Wisconsin Public Radio app.